Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Coming to Smart Financial in Sugar Land on December 7th, we cannot wait to have the legendary Kansas make a stop in the Houston area for their legendary Point of No Return tour, which they're celebrating 40 years. And I'm happy to have on the phone with me the guitarist who was there from day one, appeared on every single Kansas record, Rich Williams. How you doing, Rich?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Where to start? There is so much to talk to you about, because I've been listening to your music since I was in, you know, 7th, 8th grade, I guess it was. A little band from Topeka, Kansas. And you've just accomplished so much, probably beyond your wildest dreams, yes?
The wildest dream was to make an album. And so, yeah, after we did that, everything else was kind of gravy. It was. There's been a lot of milestones that we've reached, but really the first one was to break out of the Midwestern circuit of, you know, the bar circuit, and the big time to us, because it's really all we knew. We never dreamed of being in the global market in any way. It was just, there was in the '60s and '70s, there was all these roving soul bands that went all around the Midwest with, you know, horns and a Hammond organ and a lead singer, and they all matching suits and did steps and stuff, and they got to play all these exciting places like Hatfield, Minnesota, at the Hollyhock Ballroom, and all these places we'd hear ads for on the radio stations. And to us, that was as big as we could ever dream.
Yeah,
was to get out of the local bar scene and to be on more of the regional, you know, showrooms. You know, by the first album, when that came out, suddenly we're on tours with, you know, the Kinks and Mott the Hoople and all these other bands. And so we'd already, okay, now what? we'd already blown our hopes, our dreams had already been achieved. So everything else, I would have never guessed it 46 years later, I'd still be doing this and glad to be here.
Yeah, we're going back to 1974 and earlier even. Let's just, for the record, for people that are checking out this podcast, okay, you're talking about a band that has composed 15 studio albums, 5 live albums, 8 gold albums, 3 sextuple platinum albums. That is not a dirty term. That means, what does it mean, going 6 times platinum, Rich?
Yes.
1 platinum live album and 2 1 million selling gold singles, of course, Carry On Wayward Son and Dust in the Wind, the two sort of anthems that Kansas is most known for. I'll have you know, Rich, you'll probably be happy to know, yesterday I was driving home and I listened to the entire Point of No Return album start to finish once again. And, you know, I can see how you decided to do a tour where you would do the record in its entirety. Why that particular album, Point of No Return?
Well, 3 years ago, we released a new album called The Prelude Implicit.
And I listened to that one this morning. Fantastic!
Well, okay, so we've got this album out. How are we going to let people know about it? And what we do is we tour. And so playing a lot of songs from the new album, that's usually, you know, we're going to play a song from the new album now. That's when people go buy popcorn and, you know, get a cocktail. So we thought, well, what we need to do is not play a casino or a fair or things like that. We need to just do performing arts center types of shows, theaters, 10 or 15 cities where we know we'll draw a lot of just, you know, hardcore Kansas fans. And we'll do the Left Overture album in its entirety, because we've never done anything like that before. Played a whole album in its full of running order and all of that. So we will have the 40th anniversary of Left Overture, and that will give us a vehicle in which we can introduce the new album to hardcore fans. Well, the 10 or 15 dates turn into, I think, 83 shows. of just that particular tour. And so it was just a lot more successful than we dreamed. And Point of Return was even larger selling record. So it just seemed logical the next time out was to do that. So we're using the same formula. It's a 2.5 hour show. We come out and we do 5 acoustic songs, acoustic, like unplugged versions of Kansas songs. Then the middle section is stuff from, we haven't played in a long time, if ever. And various other songs from different records. That's the middle section. Then the end is Point of No Return in its entirety. So it's a, for a Kansas fan, it's a great night. It's you get your money's worth. It's a lot of work for us, but it's really fun.
Original guitarist Rich Williams from Kansas on the phone with us. Going to be in town December 7th at Smart Financial in Sugar Land. If you have not heard Prelude Implicit. If you have not heard that song or that album, it's fantastic. Gave me an entirely new appreciation for Home on the Range, Rich. Excellent. Also, I was digging on the fact that last night when I was listening to the Point of No Return record, at the end, when you get to the crescendo, I love the nod to Carry On Wayward Son in there. Was that an intentional thing or just spur of the moment?
I'm trying to think which part that is.
Well, I think it's at the very beginning. It almost sounds like you're playing the riff to the end of Carry On Wayward Son for just a second, and then it goes in. Or did I mishear that?
I'm thinking through it in my head. I'm not catching the connection.
Okay, well, I'm going to go back and listen.
Yeah, I am too now.
I'm going to go back and listen. Maybe I was, drinking a little too much or something. By the way, I wanted to ask you that. You know, your music, as you listen to Kansas music, it's intricate music. How did you guys do that back in the 70s and the 80s when, you know, let's face it, partying, drugs, and alcohol were such a part of the rock and roll lifestyle? Did that creep into your performances on stage, or were those performances always done sober, partying happening afterwards?
Well, not everybody wore the party hat. Some wore it a lot, some a little. You know, I was kind of in the middle. I got a little caught up in the pleasures of the day to where I haven't had a drink in 11 years now. It got to be too much fun for me. And I dabbled in this and dabbled in that. But for me, yeah, you keep it off the stage.
Sure.
After the show. It's hard enough to play. Yeah, we play a lot of notes in a night. And it's in some odd keys sometimes. And it's odd time signatures. And it's intricate. And so you can't let your mind wander. You have to be focused at all times, or you're in the weeds really quickly. And so that's, you know, putting on the party hat and jumping on stage, just maybe some could do it. It wouldn't work for me. It's all I can do to keep up.
Now let's go back to the beginning for a second. Now, you knew from your youngest years that you wanted to be a musician, you wanted to play in a band, you wanted to tour. How did you get discovered by the guy that was Don Kirshner? Now, Don Kirshner, for people who don't know, record bigwig producer, famous for putting the Monkees and the Archies on the map, believe it or not. But he used to host this Don Kirshner's rock concert. And I remember it as a kid. And I was young, but I would watch it late at night. It kind of had a seedy vibe to it. You know, it was cool. It was a cool show, rock and roll. And Don Kirshner actually is responsible for signing you. You co-wrote the first song that he had heard. Is that correct?
Yes. I wrote the opening riff to it in my parents' basement, actually. We had a band called White Clover. It was before Carrie Livgren joined the band. And we were just getting this band back together and working on some original material. And that was, you know, I came up with the riff of that. And we worked on it in the middle, and then Steve came up with the whole verse concept.
Yeah, Steve Walsh, yes.
Yeah, and so we made a demo tape, and we sent it. Really, we didn't have really any money, and we made a few copies, and we sent it. We had a friend in New York, sent it to him, because he had heard that Don Kirshner was starting a record label. And so he took it over to his office and the singer said, well, just kind of put it over here in the pile. We might not even get to it. You never know. But they did eventually play it. And there were six songs on it. We only heard one side of the tape. It was to conserve money, we used both sides of the tape.
Can you believe we're talking about tape?
Yeah. They really liked Can I Tell You? And so they called us. We're playing in a bar in Dodge City, Kansas. And we were taking their 15-minute break, and the bartender comes up and says, "Yo, you guys got a call from New York." What? Who's be calling us?
Yeah.
And it was Wally Gold, who was one of the talent scouts for Don Kirshner. He was a producer. So he wrote It's My Party by Leslie Gore. It was one of his claim to fame.
Wow.
And he said, yeah, we'd really love the band, want to hear more. So we want to come out and see you guys. So put together the show and we'll be out in 2 weeks. Well, what are we going to do? There's a place called in Ellenwood, Kansas. It's about a block by block town in the center of Kansas, and they had an old opera house there that we'd rent occasionally. So we rented that place and put on a show, but we put signs all over the place for free beer. And so Wally shows up, and the place is completely slammed. People in the street that can't get in, and of course everybody's drunk from the free beer, and they loved us. And so Wally called Don back and said, yeah, there's something really going on here. These guys just got people riding up on tractors to come see them. and we got signed. So that's how that all started.
That's how it begins. And then you show up as the opening act for Queen on their first American tour.
Yes. Before that, Queen was supposed to open for Mott the Hoople. And somebody got sick with Queen, and suddenly we were called, and we were the open act for Mott the Hoople. Well, there was no mass communication back then. So ladies and gentlemen, Kansas, and people were waiting for, expecting Queen to come out. And on my deathbed, I'll still hear people screaming, Queen! Queen! But we won them over. But that's what we learned. Don't stop. Okay, a song's over, and we just go from song to song to song. Don't give them a chance to start screaming and just overpower them.
It worked out. You could almost understand why Queen, and I know Brian May is a fan of your work, Kansas, and I know they own the quote-unquote rock opera term. Maybe you have a better one, but I was listening to the songs in order, and you can almost hear them going together as some sort of a show. There's a lot of artistry involved in the way you put that record together. And then couple that with the fact that you have a violin in the band and you have kept it there. And I think that works well, and it defines the Kansas sound.
Well, I think when we did tour together, their album was really starting to hit, and we started to build up a pretty good following. It was all smaller theaters, but we were both none of us had seen any money yet, and we were just getting started. It was their first tour in the States, and so there was a bit of a bond there with all of that. We just enjoyed being on the road together, and we didn't really expect that. You look at the cover of Sheer Heart Attack and a bunch of hicks from Kansas. How could they possibly get along? But they're great guys, such great guys. And we learned a lot from them, from playing in Kansas bars to all of a sudden, here's this British production of, it's showtime. So we don't sit around and tune and smoke cigarettes and try to argue about what the next song is. It's all put together in a certain fashion for a purpose. We learned about a lot about how to pace a show and how to make it more entertaining for a crowd, because we had no teachers before that. Yeah. We grew to be fairly close in those times touring together.
Do you still keep in touch?
Oh, I mean, their career went to the stratosphere, and we don't communicate. No.
Okay.
I mean, Roger Taylor, actually, a few years later, did some backup singing on one of our albums on a couple songs.
Wow.
He just popped into the studio one day, and we were doing group vocals, and he said, "Do you want to join us?" "Sure." And so played the game tonight. The high voice in the chorus is Roger Taylor.
Wow. That's pretty cool. That's a little-known piece of trivia.
Yeah, and he said, "You can't put my name on here because you know, record company obligations and things like that. We said, fine. He just did it for fun.
That is so cool.
Yeah, and then we contacted Brian when we did the documentary, Miracles Out of Nowhere. We wanted, you know, Brian's take on things.
Yeah,
he lives in a whole other country, so we don't hang out.
Sure. Now you did the documentary. Are there any plans in the works, or could you foresee a time when you would have a Kansas biopic a la Bohemian Rhapsody? I mean, I was just reading an article the other day that, you know, movie producers are hot on this right now. There's money to be made on the fans that love these classic, you know, and progressive rock bands, you know, like yours.
Have not been approached. I will say that, you know, naturally it would probably be kind of like the documentary was of that time, of those original six, those first, you know, five, six albums in those times would, it'd be too hard to tell the story of 46 years and people coming and going and coming back and all that. It would be an interesting story. It would be, you know, similar to the documentary, except it'd be reenacted and be a lot more performance involved.
Sure.
I'd watch it. Yeah, I don't know who would play me. I don't know. I didn't think about that.
Now, here's another guy today who is just announcing, and I don't know exactly why, Garth Brooks claims he is still grateful for having the quote-unquote coolest gig on the planet. And as it turns out, Garth Brooks was a huge Kansas fan.
Well, he was also in the documentary also. We contacted Garth Brooks to say things, and he was embarrassingly complimentary.
Yeah.
Garth Brooks is such a likable guy, as is his wife, Tricia. And I would love to sit down and spend some time talking with him because we're neighbors. I grew up in Kansas. He grew up in Oklahoma. And I think he's the real deal. I don't think there's anything artificial about his appreciation of where he is. He loves what he does. And I'm in the same, every day I'm very grateful for what I get to do. I can't imagine how grateful he must be because, I mean, you know, this guy has made billions doing what he does, but simply just following his bliss and continues to do it. It's the greatest job in the world if you're cut out for it and if this is what your passion is. It's not for everybody. I mean, guys in this band didn't want to do this anymore and they left because they'd had enough. It's to continue on from being a young man to, from, you know, just starting to climb the hill to, I'm not over the hill, but I'm at the top of the hill.
Yeah, but you've got more in the tank. You have more in the tank,
yeah,
because there's a new record, and I want to go back to the touring for a second. But you do have a new record you're planning on getting into for 2020. Is that right?
Yeah, we're starting recording this June. Yeah, I mean we're far from done. This is again. I've been asked, you know, you ever think about retiring and do what? I retired when I got in this band. I was the boy that joined the circus and never went home. This is, it's not work if you love it. And to get to do what we do, my wife travels with me at least half the time. So we could see the world together. I love being with the guys. There's, Don Henley, somebody asked him, you know, why do you still do this? You know, because, yeah, I mean, the Eagles, how many times have they reformed?
Right.
Yeah, why do you keep doing this? He goes, I miss the guys. Yeah, it's just, they're musicians hanging out with musicians. We have our own language. We have, you know, musicians I've never met before. I can sit around and talk with because we all have the same stories. It's like going to AA meetings. It's just for drunks, and everybody has the same story, and there's a communal bond to that you just can't portray it with any clarity in the civilian world. You know, I could never be a civilian again.
Right. Rich Williams, guitar player for Kansas, the original guitar player from Kansas, on the phone, Smart Financial, December 7th. Let's talk about this, because I know that if you play in Kansas, you're going to tour. That's what you love. Let me ask you this question. Is there anything in this life on your bucket list that you still want to do or that you feel you have missed out on? Anything based on the lifestyle you chose, dedicate yourself to Kansas?
I don't know. 10 years ago, I might have had a bucket list. I really don't have one anymore. It's kind of weird to not. I'm very satisfied. I married the greatest woman on earth, and we are so happy together. I'm so grateful for what I do, and I'm very grateful for all the crap that did happen to me. You know, two failed marriages prior, but that gave me a beautiful daughter and two stepsons.
Yeah,
and so I'm grateful for that. You know, in looking back, I wouldn't change any of this because all of that got me to where I am today. And I can look at it now and it makes sense of it all. That's why this had to happen. That's why that had to happen. And so I'm at peace with all those things. They don't bother me at all anymore. So bucket list, no, I don't think on those terms anymore.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that right there is what they call wisdom from a man who has lived life. You've traveled the world. Where's your favorite place in the world to be?
Well, you know, things like that mutate and morph and change in time. But right now, my favorite place to be is outside of Boone, North Carolina, which is me and my wife have a little place up in the mountains up there that every time we get a moment, we go there. I've got brought guitars out of the warehouse that I haven't played in years are hanging on the wall. And we can just go up there, close the door, and sit on the back porch and just stare at Grandfather Mountain. And we wander into Boone, which is close by, and it's a great little Appalachian State college town with funky little coffee shops and head shops and little quaint restaurants and stuff like that, and just live.
Yeah,
and it's quiet and peaceful, and so that's where my bliss is. When in fact, I go home Sunday, Monday. Home is Atlanta. We're based out of Atlanta. Monday morning, we're headed straight up to the mountains.
You know, I feel like I've scratched the surface and gotten to know you just a little bit, but I could probably talk to you for hours. Rich Williams from Kansas, the guitar player. They're going to be in Houston at Smart Financial on December 7th. New album will be their 16th album that they will work on in August of 2019. And Rich, when you go back now, I want you to listen to Sparks of the Tempest, and I want you to hear it in there. I hear a Kansas Carry On Wayward Son riff in there.
I will listen.
It was great talking to you today, and congratulations on your tour and your amazing success. What a career. We look forward to seeing you at Smart Financial.
Can't wait.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.